Proverbs chapter 14, and this afternoon we want to look at this very serious, sober subject. The way of a backslider. The way of a backslider. Verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied with himself. I shall attempt to expound this text, but I think time will not permit me to cover everything, especially the last part of the verse, a good man shall be satisfied from himself. We will look particularly on the first part, the way of a backslider. We need to reflect upon this. And this, it is a common principle. It is a common knowledge that men are affected by the cause or by our own action that we take or that we pursue. Whether for good or for bad, it comes back to us. Whether for good or for bad, the conduct or the outcome comes home to us. The backslider and the good man are very different as described in scriptures for us. But each of them, the same rule is exemplified. They are both filled. Filled by what? Filled by the result or the outcome of their life. Filled by the decision that they made. Whatever the decision may be, if it is a good decision, then we reap the reward. If it is a bad decision that we make, then we reap sorrow. We reap pain and regrets. The backslider becomes filled by that which is within him as sin in his life. And same for the good man, the believer. The good man here refers to the believer. He or she who is a believer, is also filled by what? Filled by grace, which God imparts upon his soul or her soul. The evil leaven in the backslider leavens or soaks him, his entire being, his soul, his existence, while the gracious fountain of grace in the sanctified believer saturates his whole manhood. And in that sense, baptizes his entire life. That is the difference between a backslider and a believer. In each case, the feeling or the fullness arises from that which is within the man's heart. It is in his nature, like the man's character. The fullness of the backslider's misery or sorrow will come out of his own ways, of his own doing. And the fullness of a good man's content will spring out of the love of God which is shed abroad in his heart. The meaning of this passage or this text will clearly or will be clearly or make clear to us if we begin with an illustration. Let me illustrate by the use of two pieces of sponge. What happens when you fill up the sponge with water? Let's say you put a sponge, one into a pool of foul water, smelly water. So what will happen to the sponge? It will soak up all this filthy water, isn't it? And when you put the other piece of sponge into pure crystal water, what will become of it? It will be filled with whatever that you have put in. And is this not evidence when we experimented, when we put the two sponge into two different type of liquid? The backslider lies a soak in the dead sea of his own ways. And the brine, you know what is a brine, right? When I was in Canada, I learned to come up with a concoction of a brine to soak the roe of the salmon egg so as to harden it and to give it that flavor that the salmon will like, and we use that as a bait to fish. So that's the brine. You fill it, and so the backslider is filled with that. You season it, so to speak. And so the good man, on the other hand, if it is plunged into the stream of living water, what flows out? If it flows out, particularly as the believer soak himself, so to speak, or let the word of God saturate his heart and his mind as he daily reads it and meditates upon it, and then out come the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of holiness. That's how, and of course through the work of the Holy Spirit. And then you also find that the wandering heart, if a wandering heart is filled with sorrow all the time, and a heart that is confident in the Lord, that's a big difference, isn't it? That's a big difference. The one that is confiding in the Lord will be satisfied with joy and peace. The one who always soak himself and get himself into a state of sorrow and despair will continue that way all the way down. The other way to understand this text is to consider Jesus' parable in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Matthew 7, 24 to 27, if you can recall, when Jesus made that comment, that one builder what? Built or places his house on sand. And when the rain and the storm, or rather the wind, the flood came, the man together with his house is swept away. This is natural. This is natural. Then while on the other hand, the other homeowner lays deep the foundation of his house, set it firmly on the rock, and the natural outcome is equally natural. The natural consequences is that the man is protected by his well grounded, well built house, and so he is safe. So it is with a man who, or rather, so it is with us. A man is by sin or by grace will cause or will be the cause of his sorrow or his joy and satisfaction. Now we want to quickly move on to look into the profile of a backslider. What is a backslider? Or who is a backslider? And this is a very solemn subject, and one which we need, or Christian, need to reflect upon, especially in our days of quasi-Christianity. And we must confess, we all have a share in it. I trust and I pray for the Lord's mercy that there may not be many who are backsliders in our midst, in the worst sense of the term. But very, very few among us are quite free from the charge of having backslidden. We must be honest with that. And that includes the minister, the preacher, the pastor, who has not went through this season of backsliding. So even those who sincerely love, who love the Lord Jesus, sometimes we do. In our weakness, we fall, we wander away from the Lord, and we take no heed of God's warning and instruction, and even we take no heed of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who came to us to warn us, to rebuke us, and we rejected their counsel. There are several kinds of persons who may, with more or less propriety, be included under this term backsliders. And this will, each in his own way, be measured, or rather be filled with his own ways. There are first the apostates. Who are they? They are the ones who unite themselves with the Church of Christ, and for a time they act or conducted themselves as subject of a real change of heart. These persons frequently are very zealous for a season, fervent for the Lord. They maybe even become prominent, if not eminent, in the Church of God. They did run well in the beginning, like those mentioned by the apostle, but by and by, by some means, they are hindered, they slacken, and then soon they linger, they loiter, and they leave the narrow path for the broad side of the road. By and by, in their hearts, they go back into Egypt, like the children of Israel, and at last, their final downfall is that they return to their old ways, back to the world. They break loose from all the restraints of their profession and openly forsake the Lord Jesus. Truly, the last end of such man or such a person is worse than the first. We have in Scripture many examples, and I just want to bring up one, and that is Judas Iscariot. He is the great type of these preeminent backsliders. Judas was a professed believer in Jesus Christ, a follower of the Lord, a minister of the gospel. Don't forget that he is among the 12. An apostle of Christ, very active in Christian service, taking care of the finance, and after all that, turned out to be the son of perdition, who sold his master for 30 pieces of silver. He, Judas, long before was filled, right from the beginning. We may not read it in the scripture, but we can quite safely conclude that Judas is carried right from the start. He was filled with his own ways, and then he was tormented with remorse at the end, but not true repentance. He threw down the blood money and he hanged himself and went to his own place. The story of Judas has been written over and over again in the lives of so many other traitors in the church. We have seen, I'm sure you have read even in Christian newspapers and all that, we have heard and seen Judas as deacon, Judas as an elder, we have heard and seen Judas as the preacher, we have read the works of Judas the bishop, and we have seen Judas the missionary. We have Judas sometimes continue in his profession for many years, but sooner or later, the true character of that man is discovered. His sin returns upon his own head. And if he does not make an end of himself, I do not doubt, but what even in this life, he often lives in such horrible remorse that his soul would choose strangling, hanging, rather than life. Brethren, may none of us, may the Lord have mercy upon us, and give us that grace and the strength not to betray our Lord Jesus, our Master. May God grant to us never, that we may never be a betrayer, never be a traitor unto our Lord. Shall that title, traitor, traitor, betrayer, be on my forehead? How shameful it will be to be branded as an apostate from truth and holiness, from Christ and his ways. It is better, isn't it? As I've said before, it is better never to have made a profession than to have belied it so wretchedly, and to have it said of us, it is happened. It is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul, referring to pig that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So says the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 2:22. Of such, the Apostle John said, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." 1 John 2:19. The title, this title of backslider applies to another class of people beside the apostate. But this class, they are not so desperate, but still very sad. Not like Judas, but they are like David. Which David? King David. The psalmist. The sweet psalmist. The sweet psalmist David gives us the type of this another class of backslider. They go into open sin. There are men who descend, but let us not be quick to point a finger at them, because it can happen to any one of us. These men who descend from purity to careless living, and from careless living to indulge of the flesh, and from the indulgence of the flesh in little matters into known sin, and from one sin to another, till they plunge themselves into uncleanness. They have been born again. They are truly born again believers. Don't forget that. And therefore, the trembling in their heart, that true remorse, and when it is revived, when the Holy Spirit revives them and bring them to repentance, they will indeed. They will repent as the Holy Spirit prompt. They will come back, but they will come back weary, weeping, humbled, broken hearted. Yes, they will be restored. But, this is a very sad but. They will never be what they were before. If you do a character study of the life of David, if you trace through it, you will see that this man, before, and then when he became a Christian, and after his terrible backsliding, and then what happened? You will see. He lost his voice. He could not sing the psalms right now like before. It is hoarse. He can no longer sing like before, when he first became a Christian, with jubilant psalm. Life will be more full of trembling and trial, and manifest less buoyancy, less joy of spirit. And it is true. I have seen it myself, and I must confess that I experience it myself. Broken bones make heart trembling, and even when they are set back in proper or in the right place, they are subject to shooting pains. The pain thus comes back, just like rheumatism. During the hot weather, warm weather, you feel okay, but when the cold, wet season comes, so it is for a Christian believer who backslides. You may not recover fully like before. Brethren, do not think that backsliding will not touch you. If you are now walking far away from God and ignore Him, like Peter who denied the Lord Jesus, even though you will obtain mercy, sure. Just like David, was he forgiven?
Yes.
Did God really pardon him and remember his sin no more?
Yes.
But don't forget what Nathan, when asked David concerning the man who did that evil thing to his neighbor, and what was the reply from David? Fourfold. And so, David, yes, fully, absolutely forgiven, pardoned, cleansed, washed. The consequences is still fourfold. So, the text will certainly be fulfilled here. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. It comes back to you, my dear friends. As certainly as Moses took the golden calf, ground it into powder, then mixed it with water, which he made the sinful Israelites to drink it. Yes, till they tasted the last greed in their mouths, so will the Lord do with the backslider. If you are indeed a child of God, he will take your idol of sin and grind it to powder, and your life shall be made bitter with it for years to come. You know, that is why do not imbibe and take in all this, oh, Jesus is a lovey-dovey God and therefore one sin are forgiven. Oh, my friends, yes, God loves you and he gave his life on the cross to pay your penalty for your sin, and he will forgive indeed. But don't forget, he is a just God. And he is a righteous and holy God. He will forgive indeed, but not without giving you that rod of correction that you and I needed so much. When the gall and the wormwood are made manifest in the cup of life, it will be a mournful thing to feel, I procure this, I brought this to myself by my shameful folly. Oh, therefore, brethren, let us plead to the Lord to keep us from falling little by little, lest we plunge into overt sin and continue it for a time. Do you know that David actually, when he sinned that sin, and by the way, often we only look at David as the adulterer, but do you know that he has done more than that? He's also a murderer. You can say indirectly. Don't forget that. But so we ought to be very careful and pray, because that anguish comes to us. It comes back to us. If David could rise from his grave now and appear before you and me with his face stitched with sorrow, or you can say furrowed, plowed with sorrow on his face, on his brow, and his brow wrinkled with his many griefs, he would say to you and me, keep your hearts with all diligence, lest you bring woe upon yourselves. Watch, brethren, let us watch and let us pray and plead for one another, to pray for one another that the Lord will keep us in the straight and narrow way. Pray for one another. Pray for the preacher. Pray for the pastor. As much as you want him, the minister, to pray for you, pray for him, because he is as vulnerable as you are. He is no Superman. He is no Superman. He is just another Christian, exposed to all the temptation and the arrows of the evil. And in fact, he will be the first target. The scope of Satan's rifle, the crosshair, is first on the minister. And so pray, oh brethren, let us not take it easy, because let us beware of a wandering heart, for it will be a very awful thing to feel with our own backsliding. Now, having said so much, I want to move on to another kind of backsliders. The first is that this, he is called, or his name is a backslider. He is not a back runner. Neither is he a back lipper, but a backslider. It is to say that his back slide, or he slides back, and he slides back with ease. Effortless motion, softly, quietly, perhaps unsuspected by himself or anybody else. And that is the danger of backsliding. The Christian life is very much like climbing a hill, but climbing a hill of eyes. You cannot slide up. If you want to climb up that icy mountain, what do? You have to cut. And that is why you see that they wear special boots when they do mountain climbing on ice in those snowy mountains with the spike. And so you have to cut every step with an ice axe. Only with much labor, strength in cutting, chipping, can you make any progress. You need a guide also to help you to climb those icy mountains. And you are not safe unless you are fastened to the guide. For you may slip into the crevices. Nobody ever slides up. But if great care be not taken, they will slide down, slide back. In other words, backslide. This is very easily done. If you want to know how to backslide, simple. The answer is to just leave on going forward. You will backslide, or you will slide backward. Cease from going forward, and you will go downward of necessity. For to stand still is not possible. To tempt us to lead the Christian to backslide, Satan is the expert. How? Satan acts with us, as engineers do in constructing a road down the mountainside. Have you watched before or seen, perhaps on the documentary or whatever, how they construct roads on mountains or mountain range? By how? They will not just cut through the mountain and this way. They will go gradual, right? Twist and turn. And they will make it such that it is a gradual, gentle descent. So you see the craftiness of our enemy. He will fetch the Christian down from the high places, from your spiritual high, by slow, unnoticeable degree, and not often by sudden opportunity and strong temptation to cause your downfall. Do you know, for example, I mean, this is from my own experience, I just illustrate, the gutter that you see on the edge of our buildings or any other buildings, if there is a gutter, you call it the rain gutter to collect the rainwater. Do you know that it is not level? It is at slope at angle, but you cannot quite see because the degree is about only 3 to 6 degrees of radian for the rainwater to flow to the downpipe and the downpipe to the sewer. So it is the same. And then we must ask, his name or his title is a backslider. But backslide from what? Well, as I said before, and I want to quickly go through this, he backslide, he is a person or a Christian who tastes the sweetness of the things of God, and yet he leaves off feeding upon them soon, or sooner or later. He is one who has been favored to wait on the Lord's own table, meaning to say, he even joined with the other Christian in partaking of the Holy Communion. He is baptized, and yet he deserts his honorable position, backslide from the things that he has known before, the things that he has felt, the things that he has learned, the thing that he has received from the Lord Jesus, and he turned away from those things that are the priceless gift of God. He is a backslider from the condition in which he has enjoyed a heaven below. He is a backslider from the love of him, or Jesus, who brought him with his blood. He slides back from the wounds of Christ, from the works of the eternal Spirit, from the crown of life which hangs over his head. Had he not been so highly favored, he could not have been so basely wicked. He slides from spiritual wealth to poverty, from health to disease, from liberty to bondage. As I said, he went back to Egypt. From light to darkness, from the love of God, from abiding in Christ, and from the fellowship of the Holy Spirit into lukewarmness, indifference, worldliness, and sin. The text, however, reveals further, which I noticed, or I picked it up when I read a commentary on this text. You notice there that it says, the backslider in heart. It did not just tell us a backslider, but a backslider in heart. You see, the heart is the fountain of evil in this man in his natural state. A man need not be a backslider in action to get the text fulfilled in him. He need only to be a backslider in heart. All backsliding begins outward, no, inward, within. Begins with the heart growing lukewarm, the spirit of apathy begins, and then the love of Christ being less powerful in the soul. And perhaps you think that as so long as backsliding is confined to the heart, it does not matter much. And often we take backsliding very lightly. But consider for a moment, brethren, and you will understand what I mean. If you consult your physician, and he said to you, or rather you said to him first, "Doctor, I feel a severe pain in my body." Now, if the doctor or the physician reply you and say, would you be comforted if he say to you, "There is no cause for, or no local cause for your sufferings. It arises entirely from the disease of your heart." Would you not be far more alarmed than before if the doctor reveals that to you? Your condition is not local, but it is somewhere else. I found something deep inside that caused this pain. The heart is hard to reach and difficult to understand. You know from the verse from Jeremiah 17:9. Is it 17:9? Yes. I think so. Is it correct? And you know, it is so powerful. It is one of the, in fact, the most powerful over the rest of our whole system, isn't it? The heart. It has such a power to injure all other members of the of our body. A disease in the heart is an injury to all other vital organs in our body. A pollution of the springs of life. A wound there, a wound at the heart, is like a thousand wounds. A very, very complicated wound or wounding of all other members. Therefore, brethren, again we are reminded here and warned, look well then to your heart, my heart, and pray, O Lord, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Psalm 19 verse 12. And continue, don't stop that prayer. Pray and say, preserve me unto your heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. 2 Timothy 4:18. And now we go to a little bit more concerning the history. We look here. He shall be, or he in his heart, shall be filled with his own ways, from which it is very clear that he falls into the ways of his own making. When he was in the right state, he followed the Lord Jesus' way. He delighted in the law of God, and he gave God the desire, and God gave him the desire of his heart. But now he has his own way. He has his own thought, and he prefers not the way of God. And what comes of that? Does he prosper when he do that? When he turn away from God? No. He is before long filled with his own ways. The first kind of fullness of his own way is he is taken and into this deep, full absorption of carnal pursuit. He has not much time with the Lord and with his word and fellowship with fellow believers. He has been taken and occupied and soaked himself into many other things than the word of God, than with God's people, than worship. But he is preoccupied with so many other with mischief. Many professed Christians spend far too much time, if we are honest with ourselves, far too much time in amusement, which they call recreation, but I fear it is far rather a destruction. The pleasures, the cares, the pursuits and the ambition of the world swell in the hearts of the backslider, and once that enters in, and by they feel it completely, and worldliness grows and grows, and pride tries its best to cast out the true owner of the Christian's heart. Brethren, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. How can it be otherwise? How can it be? It cannot be. And the word of God stands true. A backslider is drinking water out of his own cistern and eating the bread which he sowed the corn some years ago. And so his ways have come home to him. Now, as I said, I must move on to the last part and close, because I cannot touch on the concerning the good man. But I suppose that you can do your own reading and understand it. It is the opposite. It is the opposite of the backslider. Complete opposite of the backslider. So I want to close with this. I shall leave it to you to consider the last part of that text. And I want to close with this. Brethren, as I plead with you just now, and I plead once again, let us go straight away to the cross at once. Continue to look unto the Lord Jesus. Don't leave your eyes off him. Don't leave your eyes off the word of God. Don't leave your eyes off worship. Don't leave your eyes off fellowship with fellow Christians and believers. We need each other, and we need to pray for one another. And as the words of the hymn by John Morrison, who urges us, come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, nor will leave the penitent to mourn. Let us confess every degree and form of backsliding, every wandering of our heart, every decline of love, every wandering or wavering of faith, every fledging of zeal, every dullness of desire, every failure of confidence. Let us repent of all this. Let us confess to the Lord that we are indeed weak and we have backslided, and therefore we are pleading for the Lord to restore us, just as he restored Peter. And he will if he come to us. And let us go before the Lord, and as the Lord say to us, return. Therefore let us return. Even Even if we are not backsliders, or we are not backslider now, because you can be a backslider months later, because as I said, we are prone to wander away from the Lord. Even if we be not backslider, it will do us no hurt, no harm to come to the cross as penitents. Indeed, it is well to abide, to cling on to the cross of Christ there. And let us pray that the Spirit of the living God will preserve us in believing all the days of the life of our life till the Lord call us home, or till the Lord returns and bring us back to Himself. Let us pray. O gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we ask that you will help us to take heed of this thy warning. Lord, this word written by Solomon your servant, it is indeed inspired word, but it is also from his own experience, as you allow him and permit him to go through all the vicissitudes of life, to put him through the trials of life. And now, by thy grace, he returned, and particularly in his old age, he reflect, and he wrote this, thy word, under the direction of your Holy Spirit, for our learning, for our benefit, for our edification, lest we go the same road like he did into backsliding. Oh, Father, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.